Today's episode is brought to you by DeSanto Propane. DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane. Today we are learning more about the Finger Lakes connection that's going to be made at this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Dan Hacker, a longtime figure in music education in the Finger Lakes, will be there marching with the band director's marching band. Boy, that's a lot of words in a short span right there, Dan. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Mr. Durso. Thank you so much.
So obviously this has probably got to be a pretty big moment for you personally. So congratulations there. Take us back to when you found out that this was actually going to happen. It's been a while.
Yeah. So first and foremost, thank you again for having me. It really started way back in 2018 when there was an all call went out for people to apply to be a part of this organization, the Salute to Band Directors Ensemble, as they were going to perform in the Rose Bowl Parade. And I was selected for that. And I think there was about 300 or so that were selected for that. And COVID happened. They canceled the parade. And then we also had, in that meantime, had a baby. And when they decided to do the parade the following year, they said, yes, we're going to do this ensemble in the Rose Bowl Parade. But I, you know, was not going to leave my wife with a newborn and a four-year-old at that point for almost a week. So unfortunately, I had to miss out on that experience and got to watch it on TV. And it was a beautiful day. And, you know, a goal of mine is always to march in the Rose Bowl Parade, but, you know, sometime in the future, hopefully. But about a year and a half ago, over the summer, they sent out an all-call message saying, hey, we have a new opportunity coming up in about a year and a half. And, you know, who's interested, you know, what's an update on your career? Are you still teaching? You know, what's happening at that point? And I said I was definitely, you know, interested. I had said that I am now a teacher trainer versus being a teacher. So I'm not in the classroom as much as I used to be. I'm more so working and training educators at this point. We will see in both seasons in Syracuse. But I still have many connections with the music programs around our area. And I said I would definitely be interested. And then they announced it would be the Macy's Day Parade. And I said, of course, you know, you cannot pass that up. You know, I've been watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade since, you know, I was a baby. So, and again, you aspire to do these large parades as a band director, the Macy's Day Parade and the Rose Bowl Parade. So, and I was always kind of jealous, you know, in 2019, two of our students, former students had marched in the parade and I was there on the sidelines watching. So now I get to see it, you know, from the inside, you know, start to finish.
How do you peel back the curtain a little bit, if you could? How do you mentally prepare for something like this? Because I think knowing that this has been a years long journey, a years long process, the announcement was made that you were going to be participating pretty much a year ago-ish now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about a year.
How do you contain that and keep yourself mentally in check so that it doesn't become daunting or overwhelming or anything like that? It feels like there needs to be like a specific skill that you need to have to keep that together.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think, you know, music teachers more than anyone, I think we're so used to multitasking and preparing and over-preparing. And I think that just in itself helps prepare for an event like this. We received the music for this event, I think in June. So it's been an experience finding time to practice, memorize, finding space to go marching around the yard and pulling the cars out of the garage to practice your marching technique. And playing and preparing for this, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. So it's been a daunting task too. And I was, you know, reading up on the community group chat that we're in that, you know, some people have memorized their music and some haven't. And, but I know that, you know, when we rehearse tomorrow on Sunday afternoon or evening in the city, we will get our first taste of what 400 plus band directors, you know, and excellent music educators and musicians all get together and play for the first time. So we did do a tribute for 9/11 where we were recorded one of our pieces that they put together. I think about 200 of us actually recorded a piece of the, so about half the ensemble. And that was kind of cool. And again, that was one of the, you know, picture in picture, record it, you know, yourself, and they put it together in the end, sort of like what we all had to do during during the COVID shutdown with our classes. So there's a little bit of flashback for that. And hopefully, you know, we don't have to get to that point again, you know. But, you know, it was fun and exciting to see different faces. I'm really looking forward to just, you know, being immersed in all the sound that we're going to have and be a part of.
I think that might be a little surprising to some people that the first time you guys are going to get together and practice this in person is literally like tomorrow. It's Saturday right now as we record this. Yep. So Sunday, like 4 days before the parade, is the first time everybody's going to get together and practice in person. Well, is that typical of big events like this where you're pulling people from a lot of different places?
You know, if you are selected, you know, we've had several groups in our area perform in either the Rose Bowl Parade or the Macy's Day Parade. And you know, a typical one, like when we performed the 2019 Veterans Day Parade, you know, those ensembles that are invited have a year to practice and rehearse. When you get together these special ensembles, it's pretty typical. And it's almost a logistical nightmare too. In knowing, I know that there was some talk of the government shutdown. Thankfully that's been cleared up, because several of the rehearsal sites for both us and the Great American Marching Band, rehearse at the armories, in and around New York City. And if the government were to shut down, we were going to lose our rehearsal sites. So, thankfully we don't have to worry about that, but, we've got, just shy of like about 16 hours worth of rehearsals over the next few days. So we're going to have time to learn this music inside and out and be ready to perform for the world.
Let's get into the personal side of this. What does this opportunity mean to you personally?
Oh, geez. You know, as a musician, as a teacher, as someone who's dedicated their life to music education, this is a pretty big deal. You know, there's not many events that are much bigger than this parade. So, I wonder what we're going to do in the future, if they're going to do something bigger, you know, the next big trip, but I'm not sure what's going to beat this, but, I'm honored and blessed that I'd be one of these, educators to be a part of this ensemble. I know over the years, marching band and field band have been so instrumental in my life and my career. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to become a band director, was with some of those extra, you know, ensembles that were outside of the school day. Yes, I love concert band and jazz band and music theory and all those things you do during the school day. But man, those extra things, you really get to bond with your students. You really bond as a family. A lot of times when you're doing those extra ensembles, you're spending, you know, 10, 12 hours a week together outside of, you know, your normal educational, a lot of times you spend more time with your students than, you know, they do with their own family. So you get to know them. And, but I really do enjoy the fact that I get to represent Central New York. I get to represent all the folks that have ever supported me over the years. One thing that is really special about this upcoming performance on Monday, we were asked to perform at the 9/11 Memorial. And people don't get asked to perform there. It's obviously a somber environment and hallowed ground. But they asked us to perform a 30-minute ceremony where, you know, they will do a wreath-laying ceremony. We will honor first responders and all those affected from the World Trade Center disaster. And again, that means a lot to me, because I was the youngest National Red Cross volunteer to be a part of the response effort to New York City, just turning 18 out of high school. You know, I was the youngest by far. And I spent about a month and a half down there helping. So it's going to be like a full circle moment with that as well. It's going to be tough to perform there. But again, being a first responder myself and someone who took part in the recovery efforts, it means a lot in that respects as well.
when you think about the opportunity this now creates to spotlight music education, what stands out to you?
The motto for this ensemble is we teach music, we teach life. That's the motto of this organization. And that's the model that I feel I had when I was the teacher. You know, there were so many things that we taught that was outside of the notes on the page, you know, for our students that prepare them for life. And I think that in itself, just highlighting, you know, the faces of music education, those who have continued to make a difference in the lives of our students and our communities, that just speaks volumes to itself.
I've got a couple Macy's related questions that I want.
All right.
To
all right.
First up here is, when you think about music education, obviously technology has changed everything in life over the last 15 years. What's one thing that stands out to you in music education that technology has really driven change?
Well, I've done several trainings with educators across our communities, a lot with AI most recently. But I think back, you know, prior to the pandemic shutdown, we were using a lot of technology in the classroom. Whereas, you know, having students use their cell phones to have a, you know, their tuner out, and actually looking at how they're playing. One of the tuner apps that we used, I was having the kids record their playing, and they could actually see their articulation. So when we were talking about space between notes, you could actually see it in waveform what we were actually talking about. So, but again, you know, the changes are change every second. Every time I log onto the computer, there's something different in the world of technology. And you know, it's a very interesting concept when it comes to the arts in artificial intelligence. You know, I know that they used about a year ago, they used AI to recreate and finish some of Beethoven's thoughts for his 10th symphonies, and which has been performed several times now. We see, you know, we've released a new Beatles tune, you know, using AI. It was top of the charts. And we've seen several organizations and orchestras across the world use AI to create different music ensembles. And so it'll be interesting to see how AI continues to affect music and arts. And we, as we continue to define that fine line of, if it's AI created, is it art still? You know, at what point is it art still if it's created artificially? So it, and as of right now, AI is only as good as the information we throw into it and we train it with. So there's still a human aspect there, but it'll be interesting to see as this grows over the next year, 5-10 years, to see what actually happens and how it affects the arts.
I'm curious now, as we head into the week of Thanksgiving, the question on everybody's mind, music related, is how early is too early for holiday music? And am I crazy for already listening to it?
Listen, one thing that I always thought of, and every time this conversation comes up, music educators plan their Christmas concerts in the spring the following year, right? So, you know, the spring and the summer, we're starting to already listen into it, you know, and then once school starts in September, I know with me, I was rehearsing Christmas music, you know, right off the bat, right next to all the pep band music and all the parade stuff we were doing for homecoming. So I was rehearsing that Christmas music right from the get-go. You know, I do love the holiday music. I was, for a long time, the day after, you know, Thanksgiving, when Y94 would switch over, you know, to Thanksgiving Now, those stations are all playing on November 1st. So I know my kids love the music, and sometimes we'll listen to it a little bit, but I still like that, you know, day after Thanksgiving is the ultimate time to start listening to that Christmas music. But again, I know listening to some of that music, I connect it with so many memories of my life and childhood growing up. So sometimes even on a tough day, sometimes I'll throw a Christmas tune on, you know, that makes me remember my grandparents or something like that too. So I think it's ever too early to start, but you know, I mean, I feel with everyone, you know, Of course, this music's already playing, but listen, music educators, we've been listening to it for months already and planning. So, so no sympathy from us. Like, we're already sick of it as well at that point.
That's some good perspective right there, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of perspective, what's one piece of advice you give to young people as they go through their own or begin their own musical journey?
There's so many things that come to mind. I think practice, you know, is the biggest, you know, thing to, you know, to think about. I wish, you know, I had thought about this earlier in my life. I know when I was in college, if my college professors are listening, I'm sorry, you know, plug your ears, but this was a good thing for us. But, when I watch TV, you know, a commercial would come on. What do? During commercials, you know, we might run to the bathroom. We might grab something to eat, but a lot of times you're just sitting there waiting for the shows to come back on. You know, it's not too hard to, you know, grab your instrument, play through your scales. You know, you can get through 3, 4, 5 scales, you know, in that time span or memorize or play through, you know, a piece of your music, you know, finding small little chunks of time, that I wish I had done all along. I would be that much better, you know, of a musician at this point, you know, if I had spent even, you know, that 2-3 minutes, you know, practicing every commercial break. And that did help me, you know, memorizing music for this performance. And I think one thing, you know, that people don't normally think about, I remember when I was in going into 11th grade, I was out playing soccer out on the field, and I was right outside the band and chorus room. And I remember Susan Avery reached her head out the window and said, "Hey, Dan, come in here. I want to voice print you and, you know, and figure out where you are vocally." And I was like, "I'm not coming in there. I'm not a singer. No, I'm not doing that." And, you know, I am so glad that, you know, she poked her head out that day, and I'm forever thankful that she does a presentation at a lot of the music conferences called Planting the Seed. I think that was the planting of the seed moment for me as, you know, a musician and a music educator. And I've said this to her several times, and it's never going to hurt you to, you know, if you're just an instrumentalist, to go sing, because it's going to help train your ear, and vice versa, you know. Join the musical, join drama, join all those extracurricular things, because you never know where you're going to find your niche or where you're going to find something that you can excel in. You know, not everyone has to be on stage for the musical. We've got backstage, you've got lighting, you've got sound, you know, there's so many different avenues. Just go out and try it, you know, and you have to get over that. I'm going to fail. You know, if I'm not good enough, I'm going to fail right up front. You know, we all make mistakes, and we all, you know, learn from those mistakes. So, it's such a cool, you know, experience to be in music education, you know, to be in this world of fine arts. And, you know, looking back, and I do a lot of trainings now, and I say for most kids, you know, music and the arts are the reasons why they come to school, you know, the fine arts have such an impact, you know, on everyone, but even more so those kids that may be struggling or have a rough home life, or, you know, don't really care about education or school, you know, that music and the arts are their avenue sometimes. And for some, and that's the reason why they come to school. That's their safe place for them. So I encourage everyone to, you know, to dive in and experience and be a part of the craziness that are, you know, the music world.
Hey, Dan, appreciate the time. Best of luck this week. You're going to kill it. And we'll all be watching.
Yeah, I think, you know, not to give too much away, but I know that when we're on the TV for Macy's during that performance, I'm going to be sort of like in the middle of your screen. Can't really say where, but maybe second row, right at the bottom of the star. I don't know yet, but we'll see.
That's a good hint. Hey, appreciate the time. Thanks for taking it today.
Yes, thank you so much, sir.